This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now for John Chuckery's often imitated but never duplicated world famous buy or sell segment.
And we'll welcome you back into the Kia studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. College football game time. Final edition of this particular season. I'm sure we'll be back together for G-Day in Athens.
Oh, you already know that.
Yeah, so we'll be all together then. So a lot to look forward to as we head toward spring football. But we put a bow on everything, all things college football. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, by the way, here with you. Follow us on social media. The station is at 929 The Game. The show is at 929 CFB Game Time. He is at RandyMac81. I am at JMCH316. And in studio now, because normally we like to have two people answering the buy or sell questions.
Yes.
Brian Gebhardt, our intrepid producer, coming in studio. He will have the questions today. He looks a little banged up. How was must have been on the streets of Alpharetta last night.
Oh, me? No. I was fine. I didn't do anything last night.
Good for you.
Just looked generally banged up, I guess.
That's all it is. It's just a general
we
look.
We just assume.
He just has a banged up looking face.
It's just become an assumption that you get banged up on the streets of Alpharetta.
Well, I appreciate
the streets,
guys.
Of Alpharetta.
Yeah, very mean, obviously, the streets of Alpharetta. All right, first one for you guys. Randy, buy or sell. LSU will finish either first or second in the SEC West next season.
Oh, I'm buying that. I mean, I don't think that A&M's going to topple them. I don't think Auburn has enough to beat them. So I think the West is going to be a two-horse race between Bama and LSU.
I will sell that. I think Bama is the favorite, and I think somebody else will take over that spot. I have to see what their coach – and we're going to talk about this in the next segment about questions. I got to see what their coaching staff's going to look like and what role Ed Orgeron plays. Is he going to still be domineering, or does he trust the next group of guys he brings in?
Not the toughest out-of-conference schedule either for them. Three home games, UTSA, Texas, and South Carolina actually goes to LSU this year.
And they'll get Texas in Baton Rouge.
They get Texas in Baton Rouge, and then they also have Rice at NRG Stadium for whatever that's worth.
Hold on, what? They're playing Rice? A neutral game against Rice?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I know.
By the way, if they land De'Ara King, they're going to be third.
Third in the
country.
Probably.
Yeah. They get De'Ara King, they may be number three. At worst, four.
John, buy or sell, UGA quarterback Jamie Newman will find his way into the Heisman conversation next season.
I will sell that. You've just got three you don't have three guys that are good. You got three generational guys that are at the top with Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. It's just going to be hard for anybody to break that stranglehold of those three because
it's always one, though.
Yeah,
It's always one every year.
I know, but those guys are going to be so, I think.
Head and shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, just how good, just if they just do nothing but replicate what they did the past season, they're going to be the odds on. I mean, and there's not that automatic Jalen Hurts. I mean, unless De'Ara King goes to an LSU and he puts up a 40-touchdown season or something like that. But I like Newman. I just don't think Heisman is where we're talking.
Is Clemson going to run into that situation that Ohio State ran into this year, though, where Trevor Lawrence and Etienne are going to split votes?
Guys at Ohio State split
three.
Votes.
But my thing, I don't think so. I was just going to say that I thought about it because remember when Reggie and Matt Leiner did it, you know what I'm saying, and one of them still won. So I don't see that.
Well, they both won.
They both won.
They went back to back years. They both won.
Yeah. So no, I don't think so.
All right, Randy, buy or sell, Georgia Tech will make a bowl game next season. Here, you want their out-of-conference games real quick?
Let me see it.
Out-of-conference games, Gardner-Webb and UCF at home, okay. UGA in Athens, and then the pseudo-ACC game against
Notre Dame
at Mercedes-Benz in the middle of November.
I will buy that. I think they'll be a 5-7 bowl game. I think
Georgia, 5-7.
Yeah.
How they going to get to a bowl at 5-7?
Well,
you got to be 6 wins or more.
Well, you technically don't, because you remember like, a couple years ago,
well, if
a couple 5-7 teams
right,
got
but
in.
That's only if they don't have enough bowl spots in.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a petition.
That's the only. But no,
UCLA did that. They had to petition the NCAA.
I'll buy it.
I think they will be a bowl team. I think they will find a way to six wins. There's still plenty of junk in their schedule, I like to say. There's still some junk in their schedule. Mark Schlabaugh and I talked about Virginia. I don't think Virginia's going to be as good next year as what they were this year. There's some teams I think they could certainly dumb their way into a win or two.
That leads me right into my next question. John, buy or sell, a team from outside the state of Virginia will win the ACC Coastal.
Yeah, I think North Carolina is a favorite. They got a quarterback that's,
he's a stud.
Sam Howell, man, is
he's a stud.
And listen, you keep bringing it up, and you're right. They got a good recruiting class coming in. Mac, and say what you will about Mac, he's a real steadying ship at that program.
Yeah, they need it.
Right. He ain't Larry Fedora. I mean, so they've got a – I mean, Crazy Mac, he's done a good job recruiting. I think they're going to be the favorite to win it. I really think that North Carolina could be pretty good next year.
Randy, buy or sell, team outside of the state of Virginia wins the ACC Coastal.
I'll buy for everything Chasey said. I think North Carolina, they got the one thing that you need to win.
Yeah.
They had a quarterback.
Yeah.
And he ain't no
– That's a good place to start, isn't
stud.
It? Isn't that a good place to start when you got a guy that set the FBS record for touchdowns as a freshman?
And then, again, Mac brought in some – he's bringing in some good kids, man. He is, and those kids play hard for him, and they buy into what he's selling.
Randy, buy or sell, out of all the new hires in the SEC West, Mike Leach will last the longest at his new school.
So you're talking about Mike Lee, who
Sam
else?
Pittman.
Sam Pittman.
Kiffin. And I believe that's it.
I'll buy it because I'm going to sell it because, you know, I think that they're going to get tired of his act real soon. Uh-huh. I think that Lane's going to do something stupid. And I think Arkansas just loves Sam Pittman.
I'm with you. You said he'll last the longest.
Yeah, Leach would last longest.
Okay, I'll sell that as well because I think it's going to be Sam Pittman because he has the least amount of pressure possible taking over that job. That program is dreadful. They are, and it's a shame because Arkansas is a good football program. They're dreadful. There's nowhere to go but up for Arkansas football right now.
Which program has less pressure? This is Mississippi State or Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Oh, there's
definitely
no pressure at Arkansas.
Yeah.
There's zero pressure.
The thing with Mike Leach, there shouldn't be any pressure at Mississippi State, but you got Mike Leach. And everybody talks about him bumping his gums and that name and everything.
What is it? 3 years ago, they were the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
At Mississippi State.
Remember that?
I mean, it's not like that they haven't had some taste of success recently. That guy down in Florida, that guy in Gainesville, Florida, and that quarterback playing for the Cowboys had him at number one in the nation. And by the way, not in the Harris poll, had him number one in the college football playoff poll.
Yeah. What happened that next week, though?
Yeah, well, in a couple weeks. two of the last 3 weeks.
All right, John, buy or sell, Urban Meyer will coach in college again.
No, I don't. I believe more and more the analyst thing is working out for him. I think he's having fun with all of that. I know everybody wants to say Notre Dame, but why are they getting rid of Brian Kelly? He's going to be a top. He's going to be a top 10 program with one of the best quarterbacks in the country coming back next year. I don't think he's going away quick enough to where Urban says where all of a sudden it's Urban. So no, I don't think Urban's going to coach again.
Randy,
I'm going to. You say next year or again?
Just in general, at all, ever again, will Urban Meyer coach in college football?
I'll sell that because I do think that once Ian Book leaves, then that Notre Dame program will go back to 8-5 somewhere in that area, then Urban will come in.
Randy, buy or sell, George Pickens will lead the SEC in receiving touchdowns next year.
Oh, I'll sell that. Come on, man. Jamar Chase still there, dude.
Yeah.
And
Devontae Smith's back as well. He could tear it up because he was about fourth down on the
season. Is Waddle back
as
well?
Yes.
So they got Smith and Waddle?
Yes.
Okay. They got Smith and Waddle, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And Mac Jones can throw it.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Give me one of those two guys.
And Chase had 20 receiving touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
John, buy or sell, Najee Harris, who is returning to Alabama, will lead the SEC in rushing next season.
Oh, think about all the running backs that have left, you know, Piron and Swift and everybody. Just doing it real quick. You got the kid at Auburn that's coming back.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head of if anybody I put.
You know who's
of him,
one of the wild cards is John Rhys Plumlee.
Yeah.
He had 1,023 rushing yards. So depending on how that offense changes or evolves in any way, he's going to be right there in that mix.
Yeah. I'll still take Harris. You know, nothing angered Nick Saban more than the fact that they couldn't run the football and they couldn't play defense last year. Look for them to try to get him. By the way, he was really good in the passing.
Dude, he was amazing.
Harris.
Yeah, he was.
That's why I thought he might come out because he showed scouts that he can catch the ball the way he did.
I have to double check that list. He was 11th or 12th as far as receiving touchdowns went. Najee Harris.
Do you think it was? And this is going to sound ridiculous. What I'm about to say, it was so bad for Alabama that those kids said, "Man, we got some unfinished business."
Yeah.
I mean, think about what I just said. I mean, they were 11-2. This year, you know, but they played in the Citrus Bowl. I wonder if some of those kids looked and said, man, our legacy is we played in the Citrus Bowl to end things. I mean, I know the NFL is appealing, but our legacy at Alabama is going to be we're the Citrus Bowl team, huh?
We were that team. Yeah. And that old group
of
teams.
That's the new thing, man. Yeah.
You don't think Nick put the guilt trip on him?
Yeah. All right, two more for you guys.
I didn't get mine.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Randy, go ahead.
I'm going to sell that, dude. Watch out for these two young running backs. Eric Gray, Tennessee, and then Spiller down there at A&M.
Yeah.
I think they'll be ahead of them.
Randy, buy or sell, Notre Dame will make the college football playoffs next season.
Oh, selling that.
Selling it?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll sell it as well, but they're going to be a top 10 team next year. They're going to be pretty good. I will sell it.
They start off with that game in Dublin again against Navy next season,
right?
Which should be
they
a
play
lot
Michigan
of fun.
Again next year, don't they?
Yes,
yes they do. Yeah. They also host Arkansas, so that'll be a win, and Western Michigan outside of their other ACC opponents.
Stuff, yeah.
And finally, buy or sell
they
John.
They play Clemson, by the way, too.
Clemson, November 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah. John, buy or sell, we will have a sponsor for this segment sometime this decade.
I will sell that because I don't know. I'm not sure if anybody even knows that we have a college football show.
I'm selling it also because of the same reason.
Yeah, you think they know that this is our last college football show?
Probably not.
Yeah.
So you think next Saturday? Where's Chuckery?
Yeah. Probably we'll get a call in the morning. Where's Brian, Randy, and John? Where are they all at? They're working a 6 day, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway. And that was Buy or Sell. Thank you to Brian for double-dipping right there as well. So, good stuff. All right. Randy and I got some questions. Our three biggest questions in college football as we head into the offseason, headed towards spring football. It's all next in the Kia Studios. College football game time this morning with Randy McMichael and John Chuckery. We'll be here till noon. Sports Radio, 19 the game.
If it happens in college football, hear it here first.
Life is one
This is College Football Game Time with Chris Guilford, John Chuckery, and Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for College Football Game Time. Randy McMichael and John Chuckery here with you on a Saturday morning. Taking you until 12 o'clock today. We will, by the way, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we will talk to our friend of the show as we wrap up the season, final edition today. Chris Blair will join us coming off a national title victory, so hopefully Chris has recovered from all of that. I don't know if he was hanging with Odell Beckham Jr. or not.
He might have been.
Yeah. I mean, everybody else was, right?
So, yeah.
We'll find out how many cigars he smoked in the locker room afterwards. So, Randy McMichael, as we go into next season and head towards spring football, asking what some of your biggest questions are in college football as we go into the offseason. So give me some of your questions that you have.
My one question is what will be the spread for Clemson every game? They are going to straight destroy people next year. They are going they have an attitude. They got you talking about something to prove?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they are going.
You think it was bad with Dabo?
You think it was bad what he did last year?
Yeah.
As far as his whining and complaining? Oh, it's going to be top level, but whining, complaining, disrespected.
Well, we got to go 50-1 just to get the playoffs.
And they are going to straight buzz all people, man. They are, whew, I feel that, man, they are going to hurt people. That's all I can say. They're going to put a hurting on people. Another one I had was a lot, we talked about a lot the last hour. What will LSU go back to being LSU?
Right.
What I mean, will Ed Orgeron go back to micromanaging every little thing about his program? Because he's going to have a new defensive coordinator. You still got Aranda there. I mean, you still got Insinger. Thank you very much. You still have him there, and y'all are buddies. He's been, have been together for a long time. So I'm sure he's comfortable with him. But he was comfortable with him 2 years ago. right. But they still stay the same way. Right. You know what I'm saying? So how does that work out? George Munoz, how does he fill that Joe Brady type role as the passing game coordinator, whatever he's going to be?
Let me ask you a quick question before we go on. Let's say LSU doesn't get De'Ara King, and let's say they go 10-2 next year.
Failure.
Is that what it'll be looked at?
I think so.
Because I think a lot – I hate to say it this way. Don't you feel like a lot of people are kind of looking at LSU as a one-year wonder, that everything just came together and with Burrow and everything else? Not that LSU – I mean, listen, LSU is a, you know, a 9, 10, 11-win program, you know, seems like every year. But when you talk about national title, they've had a few of those teams along the way. But do you think people kind of look at them and say, okay, that was just kind of one of those magical years?
Or I do. I'm sorry. I think they're still – I mean, it's LSU. Like you said, they are still one of the best programs in America. Mm-hmm. They don't have no problem getting kids. But I just that's why I kept asking y'all, does Ed Orgeron get the extension? Because of that simple reason right there. Is this just a one-off? Is this – I mean, you all the stars aligned for you. With all that talent, God – not necessarily Joe Burrow fell in your lap. Joe Brady decided to come up there and do something with your program.
Right.
I just think it is.
I do, too. I think it is. I'm not telling you that they won't be in a national title hunt.
Not saying that.
Yeah, because they're LSU. But that, how are you going to replicate that?
That was amazing.
How are you going to replicate that? 15-0 is an SEC West team? How are you going to replicate that?
I mean, that was amazing. It was amazing. And, again, LSU won't make it because of the talent. That won't be the reason why they won't. I just don't know if that kind of –
Yeah, that alignment of the stars, the coaches, and everything
was perfect
right.
for LSU.
Right.
They were in a perfect scenario to win a championship. Yeah. Nobody knew. Anybody who says they knew did not see this coming.
But
nobody.
You said it from a talent standpoint. It ain't like LSU hadn't had great wide receivers before. It ain't like they haven't had great wide running backs before. It ain't like they haven't had great offensive linemen before. But everything just kind of came together for that squad this year. And I don't want to say Alabama was down, but, you know, it probably wasn't the same Alabama team with Tua hurt and things like that they were, you know, obviously in years past. So right. I don't know. I'm not as – now, they get a guy like De'Ara King to come into that program.
Right.
Now we can talk.
Right.
Now we can talk about that. I just don't think that they're going to be – I just think it's hard to bounce back with their losses and be as good, and I think Bama's going to be better next year.
I do too. I think Bama's going to be really good next year.
Yeah.
And you're talking about Clemson got something to prove. You talking about those guys coming back from Bama. They got something to prove too.
You think Nick maybe put the guilt trip on Dylan Moses and some of those guys? Say, hey man, I know you were hurt and you banged up, man. Come on back, man. We can't end on the Citrus Bowl, right?
Yeah.
We can't end with the Citrus Bowl.
I look at it. You know, Nick can sell. Nick can sell. Dabble can sell. They're going to be. I think that the quarterback situation is more, do you say proven at Alabama than it is LSU?
Oh, no question. Yeah. No question. I think in the long term, Mac Jones getting to play as much as he did is going to be a huge benefit for Alabama going into next year.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it was a good thing because you don't want to see a kid like Tua hurt, but there's going to be some long term reward, I think, for Alabama by Mac getting a chance to play. Because there's no battle now.
No.
There's no battle going into it.
He's unquestioned. Well, I'm not going to say he's unquestioned because they got this young boy coming in. And, again, Nick does a great job of letting these quarterbacks believe that they actually have a chance of being the starter. And he's going to do that with this five-star kid coming in. But, I mean, you got a proven guy that's played some big-time ball, played in big games for your program and everything. So, they're going to be good. I mean, getting Najee back is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Listen, if Dylan Moses comes back healthy, that's one of the best defensive players in the country coming back.
He would have been the best linebacker in the country coming back. And people were like, Dylan, they just lost Dylan Moses. You can't put, lost.
No,
yeah. That dude is that dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's the next great linebacker coming out of that program. Absolutely. Any other questions?
What's my other one? Can someone else emerge in the West, in SEC West?
Mm-hmm.
Are we looking at a point where, okay, Jimbo is time?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Jimbo,
mm-hmm.
it's time for you and A&M, you and Kellen Mond with this young group of
Does this feel like the swing year for A&M?
It has to be.
Like, which side of the pendulum. If A&M gets good, now I can see them going. But if A&M doesn't get good, Randy,
they might go back.
Is it going to turn?
But think about it: is if A&M doesn't get good, it's going to be more on Jimbo than that talent.
Absolutely,
Jimbo's going to get kids.
Oh, sure.
Jimbo is going to get these kids in. Down there at State College or wherever. But because you remember me and you, we always said that we think he's one of the top five coaches.
I do. Yeah, I know. I know. People don't like it.
Is it because of the championship, or is it because we just think he's one of those top coaches?
Well, he brought in one of the best recruiting classes in the history of college football. That group with Winston and those guys, 2010 or whatever it was, that group that he brought in.
Right.
And I don't know. He's one of the few guys that he had to take over for the legend, and normally that doesn't work out, and he figured out a way to win with it.
Yeah, he did. He did. But, I mean, I think, you know, him coming out of the West. And then the Pac-12, are they finally going to get in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they've been in. You know, have they been in the college football playoffs?
Yeah, Oregon.
Oregon did. That's right.
Yeah, with Marcus Mariota.
Yeah,
they were in the championship.
Yeah, they were in the championship
game against
Auburn.
Ohio
State. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ohio
State.
Yeah, that's the Cardale Jones. Yeah. That was the very first.
My thing is, will there be a team emerge from the West? Because, you know, I know that, and you're absolutely correct. Unless SC becomes relevant, nobody cares about the Pac-12.
No.
But this year they had a chance, and Oregon peed down their leg.
So did Utah.
Mm-hmm. Because one of those teams would have been in before Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so peed down their leg. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, you lose a
That's what happens when you don't have a flagship program.
Yeah, exactly.
You have programs that beat each other up out of it. Randy, I'm with you on the LSU coaching staff. I think it is the most interesting question about college football, but how does the coaching staff come together and come back after what just happened with all the magic of this previous season? I'm also on the does Bama bounce back track, because there's no reason Bama can't be third. And they've Mack and Najee and their wide receivers, there's still a lot coming back to Alabama
that secondary?
Yeah. I know they want to just kind of write off Alabama, but there's a lot for Alabama. And I got two other questions. One is, will the real Texas or Ohio or Southern Cal step up?
My man.
Will Texas or Southern Cal step up?
When
do one of those flagship programs of college football decide to be relevant?
When does Texas start being Texas? We thought Texas was going to become Texas.
Yeah, you know, they told us that.
They told us that. And then you didn't. And now Elliger's coming back. I mean, how – and I wish we had, you know, if you could poll Texas fans, how excited are you about Sam Ehlinger coming back? You know, I mean, because he's one, he proclaimed it after they mollywhopped us, we're back.
But boy, I think he's a really good player.
I think he's a great player.
I think there's so much that gets put on his shoulders. They're not good defensively. They got really good. They had really good wide receivers. They've lost that. There's so much that he has to do himself.
But they got Tom Herman. He's a genius.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
He's probably a genius. Headbutting players with no helmet on and everything.
I forgot.
Still don't know what that proves.
I've got one more question.
All right.
Who's that fourth team in the country?
Ooh.
Because the SEC is going to get their champion.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson and Ohio State are going to the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to be that fourth team?
And that's the question. Because
I mean just across the landscape of college football. Who wants to be that fourth
team? But I think if you look at it, it's going to be a handful of teams. It's going to be Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Oregon. It's going to be Notre Dame, Florida, and that's all I can think of right now. Give me another one. Did I say Oklahoma?
Penn State.
There it is. Because I think Penn State is very underrated. I think that they're at a point where I think that you know that James Franklin and those guys are really laying in the weeds.
We didn't talk about this, but you mentioned Oregon. Joe Moorhead going out there to be the OC. I think
that's
a really good
move.
Get. I think
it's a great.
I think it's a really good get for Oregon out there. But who wants to be the fourth team in the country? I think we know the top two.
Yes.
And the SEC, I don't care if it's Georgia, Florida, Bama, LSU.
I'll put LSU in there too.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia, Florida, Bama, LSU. Take your pick of whatever. The SEC champ will be there. And I think Ohio State and Clemson are there. Who wants to be number four? Because we're going into another season of, well, is it Oklahoma? Is it Oregon? Is it this? Can the SEC get two teams? You know what I mean? It's like.
It's that way again.
Yeah. There's not like a real clear-cut type of fourth team that's out there. All right, when we come back, DJ Shockley joined Andy and Randy earlier this week, and we'll get his thoughts about Georgia and some of the changes going on there as we head towards spring football. John Chuckery, Randy McMichael on College Football Game Time in the Key Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game.
Back in the Key Studios on College Football Game Time, Randy McMichael and John Chuckery. Well, earlier in the week, Georgia analyst DJ Shockley covers, he's on the SEC Network. Talk to Andy and Randy about Georgia and some of the changes going on. And the guys started out by asking him about what does Jamie Newman bring to this program.
I'm excited to see him, and I'm kind of intrigued because I think this is a spot that I think Georgia needed to be. I think this kind of puts this offense into a mode of what I think everybody wants it to be, more spread, more open, being able to use the quarterback more. And you think about it, over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, Kirby has been trying to get a quarterback like this. And I don't think a lot of people know it, but he recruited John Rice Plumlee really hard. Obviously recruited Justin Fields. You got Juwan Mathis in there now. Now you get a guy like Jamie Newman who brings that dual threat ability to this offense. And I think it's finally going to force Georgia to be the style of offense I think a lot of people want them to go to, which is being able to use a quarterback more, being on the perimeter, having more wide open style, because this is the kind of skill set you have with Jamie Newman. And this is a kid who I watched him play, throws a really good deep ball, is really athletic, obviously, but is a huge competitor. The games I've seen, he's, you know, breaking tackles, he's, you know, throwing some dimes. I mean, this guy's pretty impressive now. He's going to be fun to watch, but he's a career 60% completion percentage guy. Doesn't turn it over too much, which is a really good thing in his last 2 years that he's played. But the only other thing is this guy carries the football a lot, whether it's from, you know, running from some scrambles and stuff, and that's part of it. But over the last, you know, couple of years, this guy has carried the ball 244 times the last 2 years. So that's a lot of strain on opposing defenses, but it also shows you this guy is willing to, you know, put it in the belly and also run with it.
And with that being said, Shock, because, you know, we see the Jake Fromms and we see this kid, Carson. Is it Carson Beck and yep. all these are pocket passers, and then you go out and you get this guy. Does Georgia have the personnel, and does Georgia have offensively the minds to try and change this off? Because I don't think it's going to be a wholesale change. You're not going to see us like LSU, but the new wrinkles. Do you think Coley's going to try to do some new wrinkles that we haven't seen?
I think he has to. I think because you bring this guy in and you're expecting him to be your guy, you cannot go into the season saying we're going to do the same old things. And a lot of play callers, they just call plays. I think Coley has to get into the mindset of not just calling plays, but designing plays for his playmaker that he has. Regardless of what you have, you have to use that personnel to your advantage. And they're going to have a bunch of young receivers still coming back. I mean, Pickens, we saw, is going to be the cream of the crop. Blaylock will be back. Landers, big, tall guys. Blaylock, I mean, Robertson is another guy who you expect to take off next year in his senior year. But I think Jamie Newman comes in with the mindset that they have to kind of build to a skill set. And with Justin Fields was here, I think they still were trying to keep the offense somewhat the same, but they forced him into just a runner-type role. I think they're going to learn from that situation and be able to use him in the ways that's going to make this offense successful, which is use his legs when you have to, keeping a defense honest. And now you force the defense to have to cover all 11 guys, not just 10 out of 11 guys with just the pocket passer, you know, all these that. This guy's going to force you to be able to do a couple of different things with his offense, and there will be wrinkles, I expect.
Shock, I know we talked a lot about LSU throughout the season, rightfully so. I know early in the year you got a chance to see them personally as well. Did Monday night go the way that you thought that it was going to go, or was that even a surprise for you?
You know, I actually thought it went better than I actually thought it would. Obviously, going into that game, I knew Clemson was talented defensively, but in my mind, I still look at it from Burrow's perspective is we got so many dudes that we can hurt you with. And then I look at the other side, I say, do they have 4, 5, 6 DBs that can cover? And we saw Thaddeus Moss get busy. We saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the backfield get busy. And we're even talking about the three receivers on the outside. So that's 5 guys that you got to account for. And then you talk about a guy in Burrow who can make you miss with his legs as well. So I thought they would have their way. I thought they would, you know, score points and put up 30, 40 points in that game. But the way they did it when they finally got rolling was pretty surprising. The fact that I love that Rick Bettelman mentioned Joe Burrow just to it'll have his way. He tried to bring pressure, and I think that was the best thing to do, but I guess he thought his guys on the outside would hold up, and they weren't able to hold up.
Hey, Shaq, we were talking about this yesterday, and I'm glad we got you on because Andy did mention maybe you would know. What did you see from Trevor Lawrence? He had a lot of ball selling. I say it was more or less him aiming instead of throwing. Did you see something different?
I thought he was pressing, man. I thought there were a couple times. If you watched the game, you watched some of the way he threw the football sometimes, and we've never seen Trevor Lawrence throw a ball the way he did three or four times in that ball game where the ball looked like it was punted. That's him just squeezing it. That's him trying to throw it so hard, trying to get into a window, and sometimes it fails on him. And then a lot of the throws, too, he had guys that were pushing that pocket right in his face. And even if you're 6'6", I tell dudes this all the time, even if you're 6'6", or you're 6 foot, it doesn't matter. If somebody's in your lap, it's going to force you to sail the ball. It's going to force you to have a little anxiety while you're throwing it. And at times, I thought Trevor was pressing. And then you look on the other side, thinking they're going up the field, they're scoring. You're thinking, I got to make these big throws. I got to push it down the field. And he just wasn't able to be as accurate as we thought. And then if you watched early in the game, too, whenever they threw the ball, LSU was right on them. I mean, there was hardly anywhere for them to get any yards off the catch. And you had to be that much perfect. But then there were times where he had guys wide open, and he just airmailed them. So It was interesting to see, and I think everybody kind of looked at Trevor Lawrence and said, "Now he's kind of human in that game." But there are brighter moments ahead for that kid. Just that instant, the LSU was just a whole other problem.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, because you know how some folks are. I mean, you see one performance like that, and you decide that that defines the guy now for getting the other 25 games that he's won.
Right.
Did they expose something in Trevor Lawrence, or is that just going up against a really good team with a really good game plan? Like, did your opinion of Trevor Lawrence change on Monday night?
Absolutely not. I still believe this guy could have been the top pick in the last, you know, will be the top pick next year, and obviously could have been the last first pick in these last two drives. So watching him and his demeanor and watch the way he goes about a ball game and the way he has, orchestrated this team over the last 2 years. And you just mentioned, I mean, this is his first loss, and he loses versus probably one of the better teams in all of college football history. And what they do on both sides of the ball, it doesn't change anything about it. This was just a team that came in of destiny. They had their mindset. They had a good game plan. They were physical on the Clemson receivers. They did a good job getting into the face of Trevor Lawrence at times. And then, just like any other team, when you get from behind, you press a little bit. And Clemson hadn't been in that spot all year long. They hadn't been in a spot where they had to go down and score two touchdowns and have to go down and score fast. And it just was a different style of game that Clemson wasn't used to, and you can see it kind of came out in that game. But that doesn't change anything of what I think of him. This guy, I think if you start a team, everybody would be considering this guy to be your number one pick.
Any surprise about Joe Brady? I mean, he was the name that – probably the hottest name in any level of coaching football. I thought there was a rumor that he might end up going back to LSU. They figured they had something out planned for him. Are you surprised about this Carolina thing?
I'm not, man. You know what? I thought he would be gone. And I remember when I was down there earlier in the year, I was asking some of, you know, the hierarchies up there at LSU, you know, how you guys going to keep? And they kind of winked at me like, oh, we're going to find a way. And I think they did some of that to some extent. I think they tried to double his salary after the championship game. But I think Carolina came in with such a better offer. And now this guy's 30 years old. He's going to be an offensive coordinator in the National Football League. That's hard to pass up. He's going to a place with Rule where they're going to be able to tailor this offense to what they want. And I think the idea of him being able to come in and kind of groom the next QB, I think was intriguing for him. And it's hard for him to pass it up after a year that they just had. And it's just like with players. When you're playing really good, you got to strike. You got to go get the money. And right now, Joe Brady is that hot name. He looks good. He's one everybody's talking about. So I think he's in that same boat of, hey, I'm doing well. It's time for me to move up the ladder.
How do you think Joe Brady fares in the NFL?
Don't know. I mean, he's been in a NFL organization. We came over from the Saints.
The knock is he's never called plays.
That's the number one thing. The thing about it is what Matt Rhule's doing. You saw some veteran offensive coordinators that are applying for the quarterback coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Get a Mike McCoy. why do I always forget McAdoo, somebody like that? If you can get one of those guys in there to be the quarterback coach and help him out, you're fine.
Yeah, you would know better about understanding about what that means, not calling plays. But it's not like when LSU played and put their offensive game plan together and were in the middle of the game, like he just went and got a bagel and coffee. You know, like we went out for nachos and said, I'm just going to take this day off. You know, I mean, like he was there and he was a vital part of it.
He was a vital part of the game planning. And I'm sure on game day, he was like, hey, call this play. I'm sure he Insigur probably took some, you know.
How they look next year, LSU offensively, will be fascinating. And no matter who plays quarterback, mm-hmm. you know, Joe Burrow went from I'm never in shotgun to he's in shotgun every play.
Every play.
I mean, they were a totally different offensive philosophy, and they still ran the football really well.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, that dude, I mean, Joe Burrow was on a different level of level.
Yeah, 60 touchdown passes. Yes. 60 touchdown passes, Randy. Randy, 60 touchdown passes as an SEC quarterback.
Yeah,
not the Mac. Stock up, stock down. Randy had a lot of fun with this last week, so Brian brought it back. But we made Randy work. Get some questions out there.
I always work, dude. I just don't like all these damn lists. That's a big difference.
Oh, all right. Well, Randy had some work he put in. We'll talk about it next. College football game time from the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.